Well, tonight we're progressing one verse. Verse 3 in Romans 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We've considered this fifth chapter to be the chapter of blessed assurance. Now we must keep justification in mind, because that is the primary issue at the very opening of this chapter. Everything hinges on the radical change that justification brings to the believer's soul. Before justification, we have nothing but wrath from God. Now, as we read here in verse 1, we have peace with God because of the justifying work of the Lord Jesus. Then verse 2, we have a standing in grace. And we looked at what that involves. Then the third verse, we have rejoice in tribulations. Not only so, you'll notice that the issue is not over yet. There's another adding to the list of how we can be sure of eternal life, of peace with God, fellowship with God, and have absolute assurance. And strangely, this addition to the list, it's not peace, it's not access by faith into grace, but the addition to this is almost puzzling. How can you add tribulation to the list of what brings assurance to the believer's soul? Well, if you follow very carefully what the apostle is writing in these verses, you will notice that Paul is saying that tribulation worketh something good for us. Trouble and crises in the Christian's life are not empty messengers. They come as a true prophet of God to work something far better and to bring us into a state that will confirm us in this newfound faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, this is very contrary to the notion, come to Jesus and be happy, that it's the fairy story tale of they all lived happily ever after. And, of course, that would be the pitch that the cults would make, that if you join their religion, if you join their brand of Christianity, then you will never have sorrow, you'll never have trial, you just live in a make-believe world that all is easy. And I suppose there are some evangelists that almost set the gospel forth in that manner. And they claim that the gospel is a quick fix for all the issues of men, even in this world. Whether it's sickness, business failure, marriage problems, or whatever, they say that once you're a Christian, you can't have any of those problems. They just all melt away. And they confess, they exhort men to confess, simply believe in the Lord Jesus, and all your problems are over. Well, that is certainly not what is the real experience of the Christian. Rather, the Bible presents to us here, get saved, and you will discover that all hell will break loose against you. And you will have troubles and trials that you never thought imaginable for a person who is rightly related to God. I'm talking now about the justified person. Here is the person who is justified, they have peace with God, they have access into this grace wherein they stand, but yet they have problems, big problems, called here tribulations. Now the Lord Jesus did say that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He predicted to a number of his disciples how they would endure sufferings even unto death. And he even outlined the nature of that death to a number of his disciples. So the gospel that the Lord was preaching was by no means this idea that the gospel is a quick fix to all the little problems in life and you live happily ever after. Rather, he was inviting men to take up his cross, follow him, and it may even cost you your life. And the Lord presented the gospel in that manner. Then in Matthew 24, if you just turn to that for a moment, Matthew 24, that passage dealing with the period of time near the Lord's return, Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now here is the Lord warning, predicting, that there will come a day when all these things will come upon Christian people, those that are true disciples of the Lord Jesus. I think we would have to recognize that we are living in a period, I cannot say the only period, but certainly a period, when the love of many is waxing cold. When those who used to shine so brightly for the Lord, their testimony is tarnished. Those who used to be in the place of praise and prayer, their voices are very silent. And it becomes a period of trial for the people of God and for the church of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul the Apostle took this up as well, and he said in Acts 14:22 that he went about confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So here we have the word of our Lord, we have the word of the Apostle Paul, as he went about visiting various churches, warning them that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now we learn from all of this that Christianity is anything but this quick fix from the troubles of the world. Rather, it is a call to entering into the sufferings of Christ. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1:5, you'll notice how Paul puts that. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Now, obviously, that's not atonement. That is not us paying the price for our sin. But it is the price for identification with Christ. It is the price of discipleship, of being faithful to him in a day of opposition. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. That's the Christian life. Philippians 1:29 tells us that it is given unto us not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his sake. Now, coming back to Romans 5, and to this adding to the list of peace with God, standing in grace, this assurance of salvation, what is Paul saying here in the third verse? When he says, and not only so, not only rejoice in peace with God, access to God's grace, and rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only so, but we glory. That means to boast and to brag. That means to exult in, not ease, but tribulation, trial, difficulties, hurts, sorrows, reverses. What is this? It is nothing more than confirmation that you're a Christian. When you are entering into the sufferings of Christ and are aligned with the difficulties and the hardships of ministering and serving and witnessing for the Lord Jesus, This only confirms that you're a Christian. It only confirms that you're not of the world, because the world persecutes the church. But when you're in the church, and you're rightly related to the Lord Jesus, and you are part of Him, and you are unashamed of Him, then you suffer as a Christian. Now notice that this tribulation in the Christian's life, it does something for us. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, experience, and hope, those three things that follow. And so this is really the consistent Bible teaching. We learned this morning in James that we are to not count it strange that we are to suffer, but that affliction worketh patience. It does something in us. It does something for us. It is a work in progress. It is a molding of our lives and of our very service for God. And this is true in every trial the Christian faces. God does not remove us from trial, but He causes us to go through the fire and through the water of trouble to work something better in us. The story of Job, which was a mighty man of God, a man who was upright, who eschewed evil, who had done no outward harm or evil, and God never accused him of evil, but the story of Job is God making a good man better. And what Job went through was not related to some sin or some anger from God. It was all a drama that Job would prove God's grace, and God would prove Job's sincere Christianity. Now, Peter said exactly the same thing. I just want to show you that this is biblical teaching from cover to cover in the Bible. Let's go to the book of 1 Peter. And I know that this is still the introduction, and I just wanted to clear up this whole picture before we get to our main points tonight. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now here are Christian people, believers in the Lord Jesus. They're justified, they have peace with God, they have a standing in grace, but their lives are not easy. This is not either an easy believism or an easy fairy tale of they lived happily ever after. This is Christianity in affliction. They are now for a season in heaviness through manifold temptations. And then chapter 3:12, 1 Peter, chapter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So there is suffering for righteousness' sake. Then chapter 4, verse 14 of 1 Peter, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. So, in these writers, whether it's Paul, or James, or Peter, or back in the book of Job, you will see that there is consistency that men and women of God face real hard issues in living the Christian life here on earth. and hardship and afflictions is not a testimony that you are not right with God. They are a testimony that you are a Christian and that you are suffering as a Christian. That's what Romans 5:3 is really telling us. And you might be asking, what possible good can be worked into a Christian's life through tribulation? Well, I want us to try and answer that tonight. I want us to try and just focus in on a number of things that are mentioned here in this passage, that tribulation works for good in our lives. I don't have to dream them up. They are laid out for us here, point by point, and we're just going to take our time to go through them. And if you follow the words of Paul carefully, from verses 2 to 4, you will see that he goes full circle on the issue of hope. I want to just show this before we dig into these points. You'll notice in verse 2, the end of verse 2, he says, "And rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Then if you look at verse 4, "And patience, experience, and experience, hope." This is all about the sure hope, the confirmation of our faith and our standing with God. This is not to depress and discourage, but rather to show that God has a purpose even in the trials and the reverses and the difficulties that we face in service for Him. Right, let's look at these things then, that tribulation works in the Christian's life. The first one, just taking them one by one here, in verse 3, tribulations also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience here simply means cheerful endurance. It's a spirit of not giving up. These add to our joy. And now we joy in tribulation because it brings more joy to our own hearts. Now this seems a contradiction. It seems an anomaly. It seems as if the two things are so far apart that when a man goes through trouble and trial, that it leads to joy. It leads to rejoicing. These things are anomalous to the natural man. But if you read through your Bible, and you read through the New Testament alone, you will meet with living men and women, Christians, and that's exactly what persecution and trouble worked in their lives. You go back with me to Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. Acts 5, verse 40. "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." So they got a real physical thrashing. They came out of there with lumps and welts on their bodies. And they went back to their brethren to report. And verse 41, "And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing." Rejoicing, not because of pain, not because of those things, but rejoicing because they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Rejoicing. Now again, an unconverted person could not take this in. A person who has never known the indwelling of the Holy Spirit thinks this is absolutely ridiculous. You go through trial and trouble and persecution, beaten in pain, and yet you're rejoicing? How can that be? Another instance is Paul and Silas in prison. I don't need you to refer to this one. It's a well-known account that when they were cast into prison, that at midnight they sang and prayed. They had not lost their song because they were in affliction. They were still rejoicing. James, perhaps we should turn to this, because I don't think everyone was here this morning. So the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but that patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience is the joyful endurance of trials. That's what the word means. It is to be a cheerful endurer. And you remember what we read in 1 Peter 4, verse 4? Happy are ye when you suffer for righteousness' sake. It's like the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. They are the blessed people. They are the people who have the blessing of God. Again, to the world this is contradictory. And yet it is the experience of God's people. Because there is a thrill in being counted a disciple of Christ and paying a price for that testimony. There is an exhilaration. It fires up the soul. And it is partly why the Christian church has thrived in periods of very difficult persecution. Whereas when the church is going through a time of ease, God's people know so little of the thrill of enduring and suffering for Jesus' sake. So that's the first thing that tribulation works in a Christian's life. Patience, joyful endurance. I will accept my lot, and I will go through this not with a bad conscience, not with guilt, but with gladness that I'm counted worthy as a witness for the Lord Jesus. The second thing that we read of here in Acts 5, verse 3, is that tribulation worketh patience, then experience. Now, this is a very difficult word to translate into English. It is exceedingly difficult, and our translators have used this word experience, and obviously it's never going to convey everything. So what I've done, I have looked up four times, this word appears five times in the New Testament, and I've looked up them all. And I'm going to give you opportunity to assess if this word experience is sufficient or if we need a greater understanding of this term. So follow with me. We're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, firstly, and the verse 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9. There are three more references in 2 Corinthians we'll look at. We'll just take a couple of minutes to do this. The first one is 2 Corinthians 2, 9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. The word proof is the same word as experience in Romans 5, 3. So experience and proof, synonyms. As translators wrestled with how to translate this word into English. Now keep that in mind. Experience, then proof. Then in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. The word trial is the same word translated differently, with a variation. So now you've got experience, proof, now the word trial. Now a trial can also mean a test. It's a test. The next time this appears in our New Testament is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13. whilst by the experiment of this ministration. The word experiment here is the same word in the original language. So we're building the picture. You have experience, you have proof, trial, and now experiment. Can experiment be a right way? Do we talk about having an experimental Christianity? Well, of course, our salvation is not an experiment. Calvary was not an experiment. The death of the Lord Jesus and our justification by faith is not an experiment. But your Christian life and my Christian life is an experiment. In the sense, will we stand the test? Will we prove to stand up to the trial, the test? Or will we go through the experience? So all of those are methods of translation. Now the last one is 2 Corinthians 13 and 3. And here we have the same word appearing again, and we want to look at how our translators translated it into English. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, the word proof there is again translated. So, two times it's translated proof, once experiment, once trial, and in Romans 5, 3, experience. So, this tribulation in the Christian's life is a test. And there is a sense of experiment if we will prove to be genuine converts, real Christians. And we know the Bible teaches us that God allows His church and His people to go through such tests. Our Lord Jesus told the parable of the sower sowing the seed in various kinds of ground. And the seed on the good ground came forth, brought some 30, 60, or 100-fold. That was good seed on good ground. But then there was seed that fell on the stony ground. And it did well for a while. Then the sun came up. Because there was no roots, the seed didn't get down into the rock, into the good ground. The rocks were all around. And when the sun came up, just burned up. The interpretation that the Lord Jesus gave on that seed falling on stony ground is like people who profess the Lord Jesus, but in a trial, they become offended. And another gospel writer says, fall away. They don't stand the test. They don't live up to the experiment. There is no proof that they are willing to suffer for Christ. There is no willingness to endure hardship for the name of the Lord Jesus. When everything's going easy and well, they're to the fore. But when the tough times come, they turn their back on the Lord and they're gone. And we experience that today as the love of many wax cold. And so we see that testing and trial can go two ways with a person. With the person who is still of the world, what will it do to them? It will make them bitter. It will make them to be offended. It will make them to go back. That would be like Job's wife. You remember her attitude whenever Job was suffering pain and agony, sitting in the dust with his boils? Job's wife told her husband, curse God and die. Job never did that. He sat silently. He didn't have all the answers to the big questions on why am I suffering? Why am I enduring this pain? But he refused to curse God. Now he cursed the day that he was born. He admitted that life was exceedingly miserable. but he would not blaspheme the name of God. There was the spirit of grace in his heart that no matter how difficult things would become, he would endure. He passed the test. And we know that at the end of his life, he was able to testify of the grace of God. The Christian goes through sorrow, bereavement, reverses, reproach for the gospel, and is still not deterred. One of Job's greatest statements was, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." We have an elder in our Malvern church in Pennsylvania who has gone through deep-seated cancer, really got a hold of him, and he had to go through lengthy and very radical chemotherapy. Very sore on the body. In fact, when I met him last fall, I recognized the voice, but I have to admit, I didn't recognize the man as I knew him before. Hair was all gone, lost so much weight. And during the chemotherapy, he had to be hospitalized due to its drain and its agony of the body. He had a text put over his hospital bed, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." There is a testimony of a man who understands that Christianity is not an easy way out for the difficulties in the body and in this world. You see, tribulation worketh good in us. Let me just list a few little things. Well, it works within us how much we need the Lord. When things are going well and easy, our prayer life gets slack, our Bible readings trimmed down, and we think we are doing so well in our own strength. Then when trouble comes and trials come, it teaches us just how much we need the Lord. And that Spirit of the Lord in us ministers to us to lean on the Savior. And we are enabled, as at no other time, through our tears, our heartache, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not only for salvation, but for our daily lives. Tribulation also works a revived prayer life in our hearts. Every one of us here and every testimony that we read of in Scripture is that men pray better in trouble than they do in the good times. If King David had prayed in the city of Jerusalem how he prayed in the cave of Adullam, he would have been a better king. The cave of Adullam was the place of affliction, hunted like a bird in the mountains. But it was there that David knew the power of God. Affliction works grace and a prayer life in the Christian. Job testified at the end, "I saw thee." Well, I'm going to have to look this one up. Job 42, verse 5 and 6. Just before the book of Psalms, Job 42. "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Tribulation worked a spirit of godliness in Job's life. It improved his understanding and his knowledge of God. And that is often the testimony of God's people. Tribulation also proves our faith. James said in chapter 1, 2, and 3 that this tribulation, trying of your faith, worketh patience. And so it renews our faith. It brings us into a sweeter and a more beloved relationship with God. It also proves that we're sons in the family. Fathers don't chastise other people's children. I'm thankful for that. Fathers don't go around correcting other people's children. A father's task is to direct and correct his own children. And if we are children of our Heavenly Father, He will correct us. Not the rod of wrath, but the rod of correction. The rod of love. To renew within us a right heart and a right spirit. And my earthly parents punished me for my good and for their pleasure. And so my Heavenly Father will also bring me into His mold and shape me for His glory. And that sonship sets me singing. I know that I am not a castaway. I know that I'm not neglected or forgotten by the Lord, because His correction is still given. Then the third thing that we're mentioned here in Romans chapter 5, that tribulation worketh, and that is that it worketh hope. Hope, coming full circle. We rejoiced in hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory also in tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience more hope. So all of these things work together for the building and the strengthening of the Christian in life. Now, this is not natural. This is not the flesh. This is the Spirit of God at work within our hearts. And nothing can put down the Christian when the Spirit of God is at work ministering to the heart. It was Billy Bray who said that if they put him into a barrel, they could never stop him from shouting hallelujah, because he would shout hallelujah out the bunghole and still praise the Lord. That is the work of grace in a believer's heart, that in his day of affliction, he can still live to praise and thank the Lord. And surely every one of us here who have been through this experiment, we have found this to be true. The fire doesn't go out. The Spirit of God does not leave us. But God is working in us something better. Peter called it putting gold in the fire, that it might be proven and tested to be made more pure. David said, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. And Paul the Apostle gives us here that the Christian who stands the test, who holds up in the midst of the experiment and comes through the fire with faith purified, with a song for the Lord, it only confirms one thing to us. I'm not the person I used to be. This had happened to me before my conversion. I would not have responded in this way. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have given up everything. But since my conversion, since I've been justified by faith, since I've come to know peace with God and have this standing in grace, tribulation now works in me. It only testifies that I'm a new creature in Christ, that I have a faith that works. It passes the test of trial. And that's the experiment that every believer has to go through at some point or other. Because God is proving us that our love is for Him, not for the world, not for ourselves, not for the praise of men, not for ease, but for the glory and the honor of the Redeemer and Savior who has saved us. So enough tonight on that very theme. I pray the Lord will work that in your heart and strengthen you.